This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Brian Wheeler joins us every Tuesday afternoon for a growth and development discussion. The phone lines are open at 977-1070. Brian, good afternoon, sir. Happy Tuesday. Happy Election Day.
Good to be here.
Did you vote early, vote often, vote early?
I voted first thing this morning.
Did you really? Was it crowded?
No, it wasn't.
Really? I went at about 7:50. It was packed. Packed.
I didn't vote till around 9. So we had a teacher conference. My wife and I went to a teacher conference first.
There you go. And I hope everything is okay and there's no problems.
Great in the Wheeler household when
wonderful.
It comes to students.
Wonderful.
So then we voted after that. But, you know, people always ask me about Charlottesville tomorrow and elections. Because, you know, we cover local elections, but they think we're covering all elections. So people often say, are you putting out a voter guide on Congress, on the General Assembly?
But you don't do that for this kind of stuff, do you?
We just cover City Council and Board of Supervisors. So next year, a year from now, when I'm on the show,
yes,
we will be talking a lot about local elections.
Next November of 07, there's a whole lot
of
local elections. All the House of Delegates seats are up, right?
That's true. Yep. House of Delegates.
And there's some City Council seats up
three
in Charlottesville.
Three City Council seats and three Supervisor seats in the county.
Oh, gosh. That's going to be crazy.
So we'll have a lot to talk about then.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, during this next year, as the candidates start declaring that they're running, Charlottesville Tomorrow will cover that on our website. We'll start putting together our election coverage page, as we've done the past two election cycles for local elections, and we do it in a nonpartisan way. And then we interview the candidates. We collect that audio. We put the audio online. We do a transcript. We take excerpts from those questions about land use and transportation issues and put them in a voter guide that we print and mail to all the households that are, you know, have competitive elections.
And that's Charlottesville Tomorrow at cvilletomorrow.org. And it really is a fantastic service that we get with a lot of things here, even with the views. We get sort of spoiled. I mean, there's a reason everybody wants to live here. I mean, Charlottesville Tomorrow is one great example. Like, you can have this totally free organization mail you a nonpartisan voter guide for a local election. Here's the candidates. We asked them all these questions of things that we thought might interest you about growth and development and schools and yada, yada, yada. And we're going to print it up real nice for you and mail it right to your front door.
And we have some very generous donors that are making that free to the public.
Love the donors. Love the donors.
So thank you to them.
Brian Wheeler, our guest, and we're talking, let's talk growth and development. We've got a list of things here we want to get to today, and where do you want to start?
Well, I was playing around with the maps today, and I found an interesting cluster of four projects. So imagine starting on Fontaine Avenue at the UVA Research Park out of Fontaine.
Okay, yep, yep.
Fontaine
yep.
Research Park.
I'm with you. Out by Dirty Nellies.
You start your line there on the map, and you go due south 2 miles. Due south, 2 miles.
Over 64?
Straight through everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Due south, straight line on the map, straight down.
South of 64.
2 miles, you run into Biscuit Run. Biscuit Run will be coming in front of the
Biscuit Run was way over on...
Well, the western portion of it is not. And so that's the bottom of my 2 mile line. And Biscuit Run will be in front of the Planning Commission next week for a work session.
So Biscuit Run is pretty huge.
Biscuit Run's coming back. It's scaled down as far as number of housing units.
From 5,000 to what?
From 5,000 to 3,500.
Okay.
So they're looking at a smaller number, and we'll get our first look at that next week.
Does that mean more green space that could be homes in the future, or does it mean bigger lots?
I have not seen it yet. The buzz I'm hearing is that they're being more sensitive to the lay of the land. So, yeah, environmentally, they're backing away from probably critical slopes and creeks, you know, to a greater degree than they did in the original plan, which might have called for more grading to put in some of the town center components or the school or what have you.
So Biscuit Run has a town center?
It's going to be like Old Trail Village in that it's that that town center design neighborhood model. It'll have a mix of housing types, mix of commercial and residential properties all
so
in one place.
Walking trails, you could like walk to a little store.
Sure.
Is that the idea?
Yep.
You could walk someplace and have coffee?
Yep.
You're still in the development.
Exactly like what has been talked about out at Old Trail.
Yeah.
A trail network, a town center. So you'd have some commercial and office space in the middle. And what, you know, they're trying to develop here are places where you can live close to where you work.
Yeah.
Or live close to where you need to go shopping. And eliminate some of those trips that you would make in your car up and down a major thoroughfare to get someplace.
Some of those places are really beautiful. I was down in Williamsburg not too long ago, and they have a place actually near the college of William and Mary called Newtown, and it really is this little faux town center with houses around it. And it's got a movie theater and a Barnes & Noble and a little fake Main Street and with shops, and it looks like a little downtown mall, and it's unbelievably beautiful, and it's everybody wants to live there.
That's what they're looking for is quality growth, and we need to assess this as a community and see if it meets our definition of what would be quality growth, and does it have that right mix? Does it have that look and feel? I mean, you don't want it to look like Disneyland and artificial. You want a mix of housing types. You don't want cookie cutter kind of development.
Right.
I think this community's got pretty high standards. And unfortunately, when we talk about big neighborhood model developments, we have not seen one built yet. I mean, Old Trail is the biggest that's been approved so far. Belvedere Farms off of Rio Road and Park Street, you know, when Park turns into Rio up that way. That has not been built yet. That's another big one. So the community's really waiting to see what one of these things looks like.
And we may have to wait a little bit longer now that the rates have jumped back
up. That's right. The housing market certainly slowed down.
Yeah.
So in that 2-mile line with Fontaine Research Park at the top, and they are in front of the Planning Commission tonight, UVA is asking for a slight expansion of their research park, which right now is about 500,000 square feet of office space. Just below that, on the other side of the railroad tracks, is a piece of property called the Granger property. That's going to come under review by the Planning Commission in late November. And there we're looking at another possibly 400 homes and another 500,000 square feet of office space.
And where is that exactly?
Sunset Avenue on the county side. Sunset Avenue is bisected by a creek, and there's a gate on either side. So you can't drive on Sunset Avenue from the county into the city. That's one of the problems, and one of the things that's talked about in the context of Biscuit Run and all the development in this corridor I'm about to describe is a new connector road, the Fontaine Avenue Sunset Avenue connector, which will go through the research park and connect over to neighborhoods like Redfields and Fifth Street, so that you would be able to go from Fifth Street south of I-64 around through
over to 29 South.
Over to the 29 interchange at Fontaine.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that's huge.
Well, that's something that's been talked about for many years.
Yeah.
And this Granger property is one of the key pieces of property in that path of that connector. And it would be a rezoning request. The county would be looking for a proffer to build that connector road.
Yeah.
UVA has already said, you know, they're ready to play ball on that. And they are expecting to expand their footprint at the research park even further as well.
How much?
By another probably 500,000, so doubling.
So Fontaine Research Park would double in size.
And that request is not in yet, but that's what they've mentioned to the Board of Supervisors, that they could add another 300,000 to 500,000 square feet. They're at about 500,000 right now.
Which is big, but those are, by and large, those are usually great jobs. I mean, I'm sure UVA can fill those with good tenants that want to bring good jobs into the area. And
sure.
And I don't say that as a UVA employee. I mean, it sounds like a smart thing.
Yep. We need to think carefully about the transportation. And you hear that from city residents concerned about the impact of Biscuit Run. And I think we need to mention the third place, which is after Granger. So you start at UVA, go to Granger. The next one is something in front of the Planning Commission tonight called the Woodlands property.
I haven't heard of that one.
And Woodlands would add another 300 multifamily housing units. That would be, it's a by right development, so it's not a rezoning. This one is.
Which means they can go ahead, right ahead and do it, right?
They've already gotten approved the critical slope waiver. That was one stumbling block. That was approved earlier this year. But it's a heavily forested site that borders I-64 on the north and then Sunset Avenue on the west. And so where, you know, if the community is driving out that way now and heading to Redfields or some of the houses along Sunset Avenue, they're seeing forest. If you're on I-64, you're looking there and seeing forest.
Now you would look and see a neighborhood.
You would see a neighborhood of 300 multifamily.
So it would look a lot more like Northern Virginia, where the homes are built right up to the highway.
In that location, yes. And you can see parts of Redfields already becoming visible up on the hill there. So that will dramatically change the landscape.
But if there's a market for it and people want to live there and live this close to the city and...
And if you can get that transportation connection through, that makes it a little easier for the flow of traffic.
Right, right. So everybody's not fighting to get through this one road, squeezing
back
into,
out towards 5th Street or Old Lynchburg Road.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow. The phone lines are open if you have a comment or a question regarding growth and development in our area. We'd love to hear from you at 977-1070. A quick break and we're right back. Brian Wheeler is with us, Charlottesville Tomorrow. SeavilleTomorrow.org. We were talking about all these developments south of UVA on the southern edge of the city along 64 that are preparing to slip into the pipeline here. And what's really amazing, when you were in the break, you were sort of adding up how many homes this could be. Because if you look at them, just look at this one, look at this one, look at this one, they're nice. But when you add them all up.
In that 1 2-mile stretch, you get to 4,200 housing units.
Right up against the southern edge of the city down around
Fontaine.
That's right.
If you include Biscuit Run, so you're going from Route 20 and Avon Street, curving around and up towards UVA, that's 4,200 units in that stretch. So it is a lot. And interestingly...
But there's already homes in the pipeline for this area, right?
There are thousands and thousands.
That have already been green-lighted.
Approved, but not built yet.
When the market can handle it, they're going to build them.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at a list here that... local group has put together, approved and ready to go housing units that have not been built, 8,100. So by some estimates, that's with everything that's coming in, and if Biscuit Run comes in at the size that it's expected, we've got potentially 20 years worth of housing lined up that's been approved. When you have North Point, Old Trail, Cascadia, which is up 20 North, things out at Glenmore, Ravana Village.
And what's interesting, you were talking about the fact that a developer could come in and get something approved and sign a deal on a certain proffer. And so let's say the proffer is this, the average, the regular measly thing we've been getting of $3,000 a house. A lot of areas get a lot more, hint, hint. But they might not build it for 20 years.
Yeah, and what is the value of that proffer going to be 20 years from now?
That's a fascinating point.
Especially when it comes to transportation projects. You just had the guy from VDOT on talking about rising cost. Well, we face the same thing with road projects. So if someone is proffered transportation improvements, we need to think about that inflation factor. And the timeline by which these things will be
built. So the proffer can actually go stale. If there's a long lag time between the time they get the development approved and get the proffer deal approved they break ground, it could be many years.
Yep.
And then, by that time, the proffer might not be worth anything.
It was something I hadn't really thought about until just last week when somebody brought this to the attention of the Board of Supervisors. We talk a lot about stale zoning, where you approve something and then that use isn't required and nothing's built there, and then you've got this piece of property zoned away, you don't really want it. So stale zoning gets talked about, but I'd never thought about stale proffers.
That's interesting.
So it is an interesting development there. Something that's happening tonight, as we speak, actually, over at the county office building, where the Planning Commission is now meeting in a new location. All the meetings now at the county office building are in the Lane Auditorium.
Why is that?
It's been renovated, and that's the new boardroom for the Planning Commission school board.
So they're not in that tiny little meeting room anymore.
That's right.
Well, that's good.
We can pack in a lot more people there, and that's what we want.
Absolutely.
We want people engaged and talking about these things.
Amen.
So it's a much better viewing opportunity.
They've got a lot more comfortable, too.
They have nice chairs now, great PA system. There's a big screen up where you can see whatever they're looking at. There's even a way for them to put plans out on a table, like big architectural drawings.
Yeah.
There's a camera hidden in the ceiling that can project whatever's laid out on that table for the whole audience to see.
And it sounds a little maybe like too far, but if you go to one of those meetings, that's not too far at all.
No,
you really do need to see it.
You want to see what they're talking about, because they will be agonizing about a tree or a creek or a setback of a certain number of feet. And, a lot of people are visual learners, and it helps to be able to see that information.
Well, let's applaud the county for that, for making it easier for folks to, one, go to the meeting, and number two, to actually get something out of it and be able to participate in the meeting.
Yep.
I personally don't give the county enough credit for that, and we certainly should do it when it's due. So
definitely hope the public will check that venue out and come to the next public meeting. Right now, the Planning Commission is meeting as we speak in a work session talking about the Pantops master plan. So they are getting an update on that. Those of you who have heard us talk about master plans know that Crozet has a completed master plan. We're 2 years into that 20-year plan. Places 29 is the master plan that's underway, being written and developed right now.
For 29 North.
Okay. The next one to be done is Pantops. The next one after that is going to be Ravana Village.
Now, Phil, help me out here. Ravana, because when you go up to Pantops, it looks like it's built out already. I mean, it looks like, well, where else would they put a home or a business anywhere up here?
Well, there's more residential development that's coming in that area, and also there's opportunities for redevelopment. You've got the Pantop Shopping Center, which is sort of reaching the end of its expected life as far as those types of buildings.
Was that where Roses is in there?
That's right, where the Roses and Food Lion are. And that's a tremendous opportunity for the community to think about redevelopment. So whether you're talking about future road connections or new stores, building more of this neighborhood model concept, as we were talking about earlier, mixing residential and commercial together, that's one opportunity. Martha Jefferson, of course, is moving out of the city up onto Pantops, and a lot of doctor's offices are expected to follow.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh.
Martha Jefferson up there. So how will that be laid out? And this master plan will give the county sort of a map as to what its expectations are and what the community's preferences are.
And tonight's not the only time for
it's
input.
Not. There'll be other meetings for this. This is just an update, more of a staff report, staff providing to the Planning Commission to let them know where we are with that.
Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow joins us every Tuesday for a little growth and development. He's at SevilleTomorrow.org. And we should say a listener called and said with Cascadia, they didn't get $3,000 a house. They got $1,500 a house for proffers. So even more proof that this region we just get these tiny, measly little proffers at best.
It does vary from anywhere from $1,000 to $3,000 per household. There are also other proffers that aren't calculated by household. So a developer will often say, hey, I put in millions of dollars to fix road improvements, to add lanes on 29.
And it didn't calculate it per house. He just said, I'll give you a flat figure.
It's hard to boil that all down, but we try to do that at Charlottesville Tomorrow.
Let's get out of here, and we'll get CBS News at the top of the hour. Thank you, Brian.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.